Welcome back to the Chip Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. If you want to interact with the program, still got a bunch to get to. 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text messages over the course of today's broadcast. Still to come, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. Joining us now, he is our Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. John Wall joins us on the line. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for making time. We always do appreciate you coming on. Well, we're at a different stage of the campaign than probably we talked the last time. You were just kind of on the heels of winning the nomination. What's it been out there doing, being the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor?
I mean, look, it's been really good. You know, obviously, this is Alabama. We're, you know, very strong Republican state. And I don't want to take anything for granted. You know, I think it's still important that our statewide elected officials are engaged in the political process, that they're still running general election campaigns. I mean, my background is state party chairman, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party for the last 5 years. And I like to see candidates that get involved. I think that's what we need more of in government, right? We need actual citizen leaders. We need people who are not career politicians, who don't just care about, you know, don't just care about getting elected, but care about making government better and serving the people. So for me, I'm actually really enjoying it. You know, still out there traveling. You know, we're on a 5-day tour last week around the state, and just staying engaged, running the campaign, talking to voters, you know, explaining to them, you know, that I'm not a career politician. I am different, but I'm different in that I think it's time that we return government back to the vision of our founding fathers, that we cared about people's liberties and their freedoms again, and we really got government back to the basics. Because, look, I have so much hope for Alabama. I think 2026 is going to be a year that changes our state forever. And it's going to be because of freedom and because of limited government and getting our government back to what it was supposed to be, where we return control and power back to the people.
Well, what's your outlook statewide in Alabama? You could talk a little bit about that, just sort of as your role formerly as the party chairman. But there could be some headwinds ahead, maybe not for you necessarily, but maybe some down ballot races, particularly AL2. There's some concern there. But beyond that, looking at the, you know, some of these legislative races, how do things seem out there on the state level?
Yeah, well, look, I completely agree. You know, I think we're pretty safe statewide in LA, but look, that's why I want to see the statewide, like, you know, statewide nominees getting out there and campaigning, because it's not just about us. This is about government in general, and it's about the down ballot races. It's about county school board, you know, county commission, state house, state senate, and you know, everything in between. So I think you're 100% right. This is going to be a hard year for Republicans. Like, let's be honest about the situation we're in. Democrats are engaged, they're energetic, they're motivated, and they're going to turn out. And I tell people all the time, midterm elections are hard for, you know, the opposing, whichever party does not have control of the White House in a midterm. It's not because voters have really changed their minds or because the population is different. It's mostly about turnout. The opposition party is engaged and cares more, and turnout is lower in midterms. And so the increased excitement on that side carries the day. And that's why, look, everywhere I go around the state, I'm talking to Republicans, I'm saying, don't take this for granted. You know, Donald Trump's election as president was not the end of the battle. It's just the beginning. Because we've got to bring that same intensity, not just to Washington, but to the state level, to the local level, as we fight for people's freedoms. Because, look, America is under siege. The left want to change who we are. We see that with their nominees becoming more and more aggressive and more, you know, open socialist. And I think the only answer to it is that the Republicans stay engaged, they stay involved, and they don't take this election cycle for granted, because otherwise we will lose some of these down ballot races.
Yeah, that seems to be the name of the game. And, you know, turnout's been a little bit of a struggle in the primaries for Republicans. You know, the special election, not necessarily an indicator of anything, but what is it time to be concerned based on the special election turnout on May 19th, or whatever, that, you know, Republican turnout just wasn't really what people had hoped for.
Well, look, I think it's time to be concerned about turnout from the primary, the runoff, and that. Look, I was very proud to be the grassroots candidate, right? I'm the candidate who overperformed polling, who, you know, ended up winning by 14 points in the runoff, highest vote getter, because I appealed to that more energetic base. You know, I was, the grassroots candidate. And I'm very proud of that. You know, proud is probably not the right word. I'm humbled that I earned the trust of the voters in the state. But I think we need, you saw it, right? You saw the candidates that engage the base. And this is why Donald Trump always outperforms polling, because he engages the grassroots. And that's what we need our Republican candidates doing. The voter base are sick and tired of go along to get along status quo establishment Republicans coming and running, and it just does not excite the Republican base. And so I think that's the message to Republicans. If you want to win, you've got to actually do what you say you're going to do. You've got to actually drain the swamp. You've got to actually cut the size of government. You've got to actually care about the voters and not just, you know, not just use the talking points to get elected. And I think that's the answer. If we want to see turnout increase, the answer is that we have bold Republicans who are not afraid to stand up for what's right, who won't back down, who will not surrender, and will actually do what they said once they get elected.
So we'll get into some of the more specifics here. I don't know how much you've been engaged with the news cycle, but particularly the biggest state issue right now, and we went from data centers to flock cameras. I get it. It's an intrusion into people's privacy, and mm-hmm. they feel that this is not, you know, whatever you think of it, it's just not something we want our government doing. I think this will come up next session. What do you think of this? What do you make of it?
Well, I think it should come up. So, as far as me following policy, I am the policy guy. So I couldn't get away from it if I wanted to. This is my passion, right? Like what makes good government? What policies defend the rights and the freedoms of the people of our state? And look, the flock camera issue comes down to pretty much one thing. Is it constitutional? And I'm a strong supporter of the Constitution. I am a constitutionalist. I believe a lot of our problems can be solved by going back to the basics, by understanding the vision of our founding fathers and why they secured the liberties and the rights they did. Because I believe that our rights come from our Creator. They don't come from government. And government can't just change what your rights are. These are transcendent rights that our founding fathers recognized and guaranteed in the Constitution. And one of those is the Fourth Amendment. And it is the people of this country, their right, the people of this country have a right to be safe and secure in their property, to not have searches without warrants, to not, to have that ability to travel in privacy. And so I think the question is, are flock cameras constitutional? I think they are not. I think the mass collection of information on innocent, average, everyday voters and citizens is unconstitutional. And so if you look at it through that lens, the answer is we should, if someone doesn't like it, they should bring up changing the Constitution. Don't ignore the rules we have in place, but make the argument to the public of why they should. So I think if the argument should be taken to the public, and they should have a chance to vote on it or decide, rather than them just having mass amounts of data collected on them without their permission.
Well, and so I was kind of game planning this out with Representative Yarborough earlier in the show. My guess is this will absolutely, it'll come up, it'll be talked about, there'll be bills filed, but there's so many entities, you know, that don't necessarily speak for the public at large, but they speak for the Sheriff's Association or the municipalities whatever it may be, just law enforcement in general. They're going to come into the legislative session. There's going to be any number of bills trying to, you know, either put up some guardrails or just mandate that these things be prohibited across the board. And my guess is they'll get there. They'll hash out some kind of compromise in caucus or wherever, and then they'll pass a bill, and it'll be unsatisfactory for a lot of the public that's talking about this. But then the legislature will turn around, pat itself on the back, and they will praise themselves.
They did
something to protect your Fourth Amendment rights, that this is not happening in Alabama. Alabama is the leader, the vanguard in constitutional protections, and that just won't be the case at all. It's all going to be about the branding.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's purely normal, right? let me I'm going to explain a couple of things because I think this is important. One, I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement. I think they have a hard job. I think we want to keep our community safe. It's important that we support our local law enforcement, our state law enforcement, our national law enforcement. And I'm very opposed to, you know, the movement to defund the police and the left's criticalness of our law enforcement, because a lot of them are the vast majority of our law enforcement are hardworking, good people who should deserve our support and our respect, period. However, I also believe that by nature, freedom is a little bit dangerous. Look, the safest place to be is locked in a padded room for your entire life, where you can't get injured, you can't be hurt, you can't, you know, don't drive a car, you know, but not a single one of us would choose that life. And we have to remember that by nature, a free society brings with it some dangerous elements. And we have to, you know, and that's the hard part of leadership. When should government step in? When does that reach a level where government has a compelling interest to safeguard the people from those risks and those concerns? And that's where the Constitution comes in. And the Constitution said, okay, here's the guidelines that we're going to put in place that do not allow government to cross these thresholds, even if it's done for good intent. I believe our law enforcement want flock cameras for the best reasons. But the Constitution steps in and says, okay, here is where government cannot go past without changing that document. And I think the mass collection of personal information goes against the Fourth Amendment. I think that's where we have to make the decision as a free society. Is this the standard we want to hold that our founding fathers left us, or do we want to change it? But I don't think we should just allow it to be changed without that discussion and without including the public and making sure they have a voice when deciding where we go.
And this issue sort of just kind of sprung up on us in the last few weeks. But and are these cities, are these municipalities, are these city councils, you know, do they seem to be advocating for this, or no, actually they're just doing it. And it's like Representative Yarbrough said, these things seem to be just popping up out of holes in the ground, just happening. Maybe they have a discussion at a city council meeting that no one's at, or they're doing it in, you know, some executive session format, or I don't know how these things are coming to be, but what do you make of that? How does a city like Slocum, Alabama, which you never would think, well, you know, small town Alabama being part of this like big Orwellian push.
Right.
But it is becoming sort of that. It's a strange phenomenon that's really like, it's a trend in municipal government, not just in Alabama, but everywhere. And it seems to be catching up to Alabama in a big way.
Well, look, I think this is a national and international effort. This is actually not new. You know, the flock cameras have brought this out, but this technology has been there, and it's been moving for years. And it really just came to people's attention now with flock cameras. That's just a private company that's using the government right-of-ways to collect the information and sell it to government. But this is a far, you know, this issue goes back for years. You know, I've been aware of it for years and have very much wrestled with the constitutionalness of it for years. And like I said, I think the big question comes back to the public. Do you want all your movements recorded? Because this is what this is about. Government wants the ability to know where you are, where you've been, and where you're going, and store that information where they, you know, they know your day-to-day routes. They know pretty much everything about, movement of vehicles on the highways. And I think that is a very powerful tool. But with it comes incredible privacy concerns. We want government to be able to protect us, and we want law enforcement to be able to protect us. But I think we also have to be cognizant of the risk to civil liberties and the risk to individual privacy. And once again, I think this goes back to government should not have control to make those decisions for the citizenship. voters should be making the decision on whether they're giving away their Fourth Amendment rights and whether they're giving away their right to privacy.
Well, let me ask you like this then. What if you live somewhere and they are okay with this and they say things are so bad here, the threat of some kind of vehicular incident is so bad. People are running red lights. They're driving intoxicated. They're just violent, running through stop signs. We need to do something here. What's the policy prescription? And some people are like, just to hell with it. Just put the cameras up if that's what it's going to take to make me be able to take my children to school without the threat of some kind of injury.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, first thing is flock cameras don't help. They don't help with immediate crime, right? They help solve the crime afterwards. And so I think, you know, if you're dealing with an emergency situation, it's always going to be boots on the ground and you know, the police officer in these areas where we have increased crime. Nothing is going to be able to prevent it, like actually supporting our law enforcement with the resources they need and the extra manpower they need to, you know, address critical issues. Flock cameras do not immediately address those type of emergencies. Flock cameras help you solve crime afterwards. And that's going to be, you know, for me, that's the thing. We have traditional police tools. Police have worked for years and without flock cameras. And do they, you know, do they meet the standard of something that's critical when weighed with the balance of individual liberty and Fourth Amendment rights? And so I think that's almost a talking point that can be used, but it's not the actual issue that is affecting us when we're talking about flock cameras. That's more the solving of crimes. And weighing, like I said, weighing that balance of whether that tool meets that threshold. I think there also can be some other discussions. Maybe it's that the information is saved for a week or 2 weeks, where if a crime does occur, police can use that tool, but it's not permanently collected on citizens. I think that could be a compromise that would actually safeguard some rights. So I think there's still a lot of questions with this. How pervasive is it? How many cameras are there? How much information is collected on average innocent citizens? How long is that information saved? There's still a lot of questions that need to be asked and need to be, sifted through when talking about this issue. And for me, like I said, the priority is that the public knows. They know what's being done. They know what information is being collected on them. And that they have a voice in saying yes or no. Because at the end of the day, good government serves the people and follows them. They don't collect information without telling them they're doing it.
John, we got to leave it there, but I always appreciate you making time for the program, and I look forward to having you on more in the future, but thanks for coming on this morning.
Now, always good to be on the show.
John Wall, ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Lieutenant Gubernatorial nominee. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.